Thanks for joining us. Fox and his friends are not experts. Take these opinions as you will. Perhaps it is satire, perhaps not. I'll tell you this, the military-industrial complex doesn't care about us. We need to stop sending our children to war, to die for bankers and corporations. The medical-industrial complex want to keep us sick and weak, stop taking their poison. The education system is merely an indoctrination program designed to produce obedient workers. The media is a propaganda machine pushing an agenda coordinated by a few men who own every channel and network. Enjoy the show. You are listening to The Conspiracy Soldiers.
All right. What's up, ladies and germs? Welcome back to the show. It is Friday night, 7:46 p.m., April 4th, 2025. I'm here with Julio, the Supreme Leader.
The Supreme Leader with the Supreme haircut.
Oh, you know what? I didn't start it on time, recording, but I'm not too late. Don't worry, video viewers. You only missed about 20 seconds.
That's all Fox needs. What's right. up, everybody? Yep. It's a weird time to be recording. Not yeah. our usual.
Yeah, I know. I'm usually drunk by now.
Same.
I've been a good boy all week.
Something to celebrate.
I'm enjoying a cold beer for the first time. All right. First time really since Sunday. To me, two beers doesn't count. That just pisses me off.
Yeah. If I don't black out, it doesn't count. You almost spit your drink out, dude.
Hey. All right, we got a local story here in town. Did you hear about this?
No.
You got to know what I'm talking about. The polygamous kidnapping in Maumee.
Oh, yeah.
You heard about that? Let me see.
The assemblage of people in that picture is just insane.
All right. I'm going to share the screen so I can show. First of all, I'm going to show the picture to the people before I start even talking about it. Okay. Okay, these are the six individuals here. Martina Jones, Aaron, and Austin Bradshaw, father and son, I guess. David Cessna, kind of looks like Charles Manson a little bit. Chance Johnson.
Looks like John Bonham.
And Michael Escada. All five of these guys were banging this chick right here. So... I don't know what the fuck that's about. Sorry, watch my language. Okay. An Ohio polygamist, her husband, and her four lovers were thrown behind bars after they allegedly kidnapped and tortured a 26-year-old man held captive in a hotel room for a week in a sick revenge scheme hatched by the group's twisted matriarch. Martina Jones. I already told you all their names, showed you their pictures. The deranged lovers, who reportedly share multiple children, brutally beat the victim with a metal baseball bat, forced him to stand for extended periods of time, and only allowed him to eat and drink once a day over the 7-day stretch. The victim, who was also viciously punched and kicked, only slept for a total of 10 hours while he was held against his will for 10 days, or what'd I say, 10... 7 days. 10 hours over 7 days. I don't know. I just wanted to share that because that was basically right around the corner. Kind of crazy.
Yeah, my friend from West Virginia was actually telling me about that. That's how I found out about it.
They actually look like this? They would be from West Virginia.
Yeah, I know.
It's kind of embarrassing that they're from here.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's like a new look that guys are going for nowadays.
Okay, well, what's the woman's excuse? She looked like
what?
I said, what's the woman's excuse?
Dude, I guess guys are just hornballs. We're more forgiving.
She looked like Dom DeLuise.
Yeah, she does look rough. But, I mean, I don't know, man. It's kind of like I say about old ladies. Just because the candy, just because the wrapper's a little wrinkled doesn't mean the candy don't taste sweet.
Okay.
Maybe that's how that lady is. I don't know. I'll let you know. I'll look her up, and I'll let you know. Maybe I'll beat up one of her boyfriends.
Well, you're going to have to take on all of them.
A battle royale.
Sounds like they fight together. It's a communion, dude. It's a commune. Okay,
so you know how those two guys have the same last name, Bradshaw?
So I said it was father and son. One of them was like 48 and the other one was like 27.
And they're not one of them is the husband of this lady.
Right.
The husband of the lady is one of the Charles Manson looking motherfuckers.
Yeah. Right.
It's amazing. I mean, you know what, though? This is a story of hope. If she can achieve such a thing, come on. Know your worth. Know that you have more worth than that. That somebody might be willing to kidnap your boyfriend or girlfriend and torture them for 7 days. You have that potential. So this actually has empowered me, and I feel more confident.
I'm still ashamed that they're from Ohio. I swear it looks like, you know, Kentucky, West Virginia, somewhere down there. But no, they're from here.
Yeah.
Oh, did you hear about this Project Sunstreak?
No, I have not.
Let me think. What's it about? It's where... What are you doing? So it was a CIA, you know, like remote viewing program. And God, here, let me bring it up. Talk about something for a minute.
So what Fox was alluding to, like, what are you doing, man? I don't know. Sometimes I just like to make, like, really big eyes, like.
Yeah, you're creeping everybody out. Don't forget we're on video, too.
Yeah.
They know what you're talking about. They're scared.
Good.
Oh, shit. Project. Don't you got nothing to talk about? I'm still looking this
up.
Yeah,
yeah. No, I want to say congratulations to the high school softball team, the Wonder Game today. I think I am the lucky. I'm like the lucky piece that made them win because I actually went to the game and they won. When my wife goes, they lose. So, I don't know. Maybe I am the lucky charm. But really what it was I took my loud cup. I don't know if I told you. I went to...
Yeah,
I went to one of her games a couple weeks ago, and she took it away from me.
Yeah, you told me about that.
My loud cup. But this time, I didn't bring it in with me. I didn't tell her I had it.
All right.
I went back to the car, and I got it. And I came back to the stands, and she was already playing her game. And, dude, people were ordering the cup, a loud cup. Not a paid advertisement, but I'm just saying it's an awesome thing. But people were ordering a loud cup in the stands, literally, like in the moment, so that they can have it for the next games.
Nice.
And that's a mom and dad store, you know, like a company that got started by a dad that wanted to make something fun for his kids, you know, like sports teams. So it's something I definitely support. I think I've bought like 7 of them.
Is it just for the one school then, or is it he expanding?
Oh, he expanded all over the place. You can get them in all sorts of colors.
No, I mean like different cities and states?
Yeah, yeah, you can get them on Amazon and everything.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah. And it's a cup you can put your drink in, and then it's got a separate little notch where you can blow into it, and it's kind of like a horn.
Okay.
It annoys the kids.
Well, congratulations, Lily.
Yep. You did a great job.
I got, okay, Project Sunstreak was a classified U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency initiative that attempted to gather intelligence on distant targets using remote viewing, a technique where individuals claim to perceive unseen or far-off locations without any physical interaction. The project was part of a larger effort known as the Stargate Project, which began in 1977, and aimed to investigate the potential for psychic phenomena in military and domestic intelligence applications. All right, now what is it that they found recently? That's what I'm looking for.
On Mars.
God damn it. Here, let me put news. That'll bring it up. Oh, the Ark of the Covenant. Duh. That's what it was. So they say they found the Ark of the Covenant.
Ethiopia?
No. They haven't pinpointed it. Like I said, it was remote viewing. So supposedly these people from Project Sunstreak, they located it. They're saying it's somewhere in, all right, you know, let me read here. As per the Bible, the Ark of the Covenant, a gold-covered chest, was built by the Israelites sometime around 1445 BC. Shortly after they fled Egypt with Moses, placing the Ten Commandments inside. The Ark of the Covenant has been a prominent item in popular culture, as well with globe-trotting adventure archaeologist Indiana Jones. Okay. It's still not really. It's a shitty article. Anyway. They're saying that it's somewhere in the Middle East because they said it had beings that were guarding it. And they said some of the guards above, this was underground, by the way. The guards above ground seemed to be speaking Arabic.
And they had white hair.
The guards?
Yeah, something like that.
No, they're saying the people that are guarding it, they called them beings. As if they weren't human. But the guards above ground were speaking Arabic, supposedly.
Hmm.
I don't know, Julio.
Yeah, I heard something that was kind of interesting that they... There was a theory that when Jesus got crucified, the Ark of the Covenant was actually buried underneath him, and that his blood dripped on it, and that's kind of what it did something. I don't know exactly what, but it was kind of like an interesting concept because I'd never heard of that one.
I think I know what you're talking about. There's a guy that claimed to have discovered his Jesus's blood DNA, and it had like it was missing like a chromosome on the father's side, or it had an extra chromosome or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, so you're Catholic, right?
Yeah, speaking of chromosomes, remind me later to play another clip.
All right. But you're Catholic, right? Roman Catholic?
I was raised Catholic, correct.
Roman Catholic?
Correct.
All right.
Roman Salute Classic.
Tell me this. Can you name me a crime syndicate that isn't predominantly Roman Catholic or controlled by Roman Catholics?
Mossad.
They're not controlled by Roman Catholics?
I think they control the Catholics.
No, I don't think so.
Prince of Nigeria.
There you go. All right, so you're talking shit about the Jews again.
Dude, I ain't got to talk shit about Jews.
Jesus was a Jewish rabbi. All right? Right? Am I right?
He transcended all of that. I think he was born into that category because that's all you can kind of be fitted into, but he was definitely not a Pharisee.
No, I'm not saying that.
He didn't really fit any of the descriptions of the people at the time.
He wasn't a Pharisee or like a Sadducee or anything like that, but he was still a rabbi at one point, and he was a Jewish rabbi. So, I mean, we can't just talk shit about all Jews now. The Jews today, I think most of the Jews today came out of Caesarea. You familiar with that theory?
No, I'm not.
All right, so
where's this land at? Caesarea.
Why don't you bring it up? Bring a map up. But it was like somewhere around like Upper Turkey to Eastern Europe area. And this was like the 6th century, okay? And the Khazarians were basically like sorcerers and shit. Like they were polytheistic. And so the Eastern Roman Empire, the Byzantine Empire or whatever, was on one side of them. And then they had a Muslim empire on the other side of them. They kept getting attacked from both sides. And they had like a meeting and they decided that they were gonna become Jewish. And I think that's what most of these Jews are today. They say that's where the Ashkenazis came from, is Caesarea. And then they ascended like to Eastern Europe. They say that a lot of the people who claim to be Jews today have like zero Hebrew DNA. I think they're all Caesarean. Because at first, yeah, maybe not a lot of the Hebrew Jews wanted to convert to Christianity, but as time went on, a lot of them did. And nobody's got any real numbers on that. You're looking at...
Yeah, they say Caesarea was a Turk empire that existed in Eastern Europe from 7th to the 10th centuries. And it spanned from Ukraine and Russia.
Well, yeah, they were conquered by what was called the Kiev Rus, which was Ukraine, it sounds like to me.
Yeah. And then they say a significant part of the Khazar ruling class and a portion of the population converted to Judaism in the 8th century.
Yeah, but it was a political move because they kept getting attacked.
And so,
they say that
there's a debate of whether Ashkenazi Jews are descendants from Khazar converts to Judaism or not. And so the anti-Semitic conspiracy theory is that the Khazars have also been the subject of anti-Semitic conspiracy theories, which claim that Ashkenazi Jews are not real Jews and that the Khazars were building a secret empire.
Exactly. Wait a minute. Oh, I am.
Recording stopped.
All right, we're back. I had to make a beer run. I'm a little thirsty. I haven't drank all week. I've been a good boy. What were you saying before I rudely cut you off?
Yeah, you did rudely cut me off. So let me read this quote. The only reason that Jews are in pornography is that we think that Christ sucks. Catholicism sucks. We don't believe in authoritarianism. Pornography thus becomes a way of defiling Christian culture. And as it penetrates to the very heart of the American mainstream, and in no doubt consumed by those very same wasps, its subversive character becomes more charged.
Oh, right.
So then they ask this person, what does it mean to be a Jew? He says, it doesn't mean anything. It means that I'm called a kike. And then he gets asked, do you believe in God? And his response is, I believe in me. I'm God. Screw God. God is your need to believe in some super being. I am the super being. I am your God. Admit it. We're random. We're the flea on the butt of the dog. So this is a quote from a book from 2004 called XXX Communicated, a Rebel Without a Shul. And it's about this guy named Al Goldstein.
He doesn't sound Jewish at all.
Yeah, he doesn't look Jewish at all either. But you've heard me talk about how prominent the Jewish hand is in pornography.
Right.
And you would think, like, people hear me talk about this and they're like, dude, why are you hyper-focused on Jews? And it's not that I'm hyper-focused. It's just that, like, when you look at what is happening in our culture, like our mainstream media, what we're feeding our souls, what we're giving our kids for consumption, so much of it is steered by a lot of these Stein names, you know, like Jewish names. And I don't know what to think about it. And then you read quotes like this directly from the people themselves, the Jews themselves, saying shit like that. Well, and it's hard to feel that it's not a real thing.
That's like we were talking about, right? So it was a political decision because they kept getting attacked from both sides. They were basically shaman. They had several gods, and they're like, all right, we're going to say we're Jews just so we don't get attacked. And they've kept it going all this time. I got a couple of clips to go along with all this stuff.
Yeah, but I forget who I was talking about too, because we brought it up in an episode and they brought it up to me about how, like, Pornhub, X-Hamster, all the pornography websites are led by Jewish people. And the thing is, now, you know, like, once you read a quote like that and you really start looking at things, like, that makes perfect sense. Why, like, for example, like the algorithm. I remember when I was younger, you know, like in my teenage days, you know, like this is back in the 90s, you know, like dial up internet.
Right.
It would take a long time for one porn picture to load up on your computer.
Oh, poor Julio. Like,
yeah. Like I would have to put like one picture on a floppy disk, you know, and, it used to be more pure back then. Like, if like,
it you was mean the pornography.
Yes. Like, it was understood that I know. Right. Like, it was understood that you were looking for women, but now, dude, like, there are people catching the creators of porn content and directors saying straight up, what we're trying to do is normalize trans. We're trying to normalize, you know, like non-genders.
Or banging step-parents is a big thing too. It's like,
yeah,
it's just, it's all sick and twisted. But here, I got a couple of clips here. Unless you want to continue on your pornography rant. I don't want to cut you off.
But this guy, dude, this guy, it's insane. For example, he was offering $1 million on his porn magazine called Screw in 1989 for the assassination of Ayatollah Khomeini. And then he had a he was best friends with Larry Flint.
Oh yeah, of course.
Who developed Hustler magazine, and then he ended up living the rest of his days. He died in 2013 at 77 from renal failure, but he kind of lived out the last of his days living with the illusionist Penn Jillette. I've never liked that motherfucker. I don't know why he's always like just kind of like rubbed me the wrong way.
Wasn't there two of them, Penn and Teller?
Yeah, Penn and Teller.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me. I was watching a clip today, and this dude was he was Googling all these different magicians, like. And he couldn't believe it. Every one of them kept being Jewish. Like, he's like, he looks up Harry Houdini. Harry Houdini's real name was like something wise. And his father was a rabbi. But I'm going to share this clip. You can look up some of these magicians if you want. This goes along with what we were talking about anyway. So I wanted to get it in before it's too late.
Here's the twist. The majority of Palestinians are of Jewish descent and are ethnically more Jewish than the European and American Jews who went and created Israel. So every time a Palestinian is murdered by an Israeli, a person who's more Jewish is killed by a person who's less Jewish. It's true that the Israeli is actually practicing Judaism or is a secular Jew. And it's true that those Palestinians are Christians and Muslims whose ancestors converted from Judaism to Christianity and Islam. It just doesn't make any sense. Here's the twist. The majority of Palestinians are of Jewish descent and are ethnically more Jewish than the European and American Jews who went and created Israel. So every time a Palestinian is murdered by an Israeli...
I doubled up on that, didn't I?
Yeah.
My bad.
Well, you have to kind of hear it twice.
Right. I did that on purpose.
Course.
What is that? I mean,
Alex Jones.
What is the Star of David? Is there a Star of David in the Bible? What is this?
There actually is. It's the Seal of Solomon.
Everybody just accepts that this star represents Judaism. This is the Star of the Jews. This is the Star of David. No Jew in the time of Jesus would have seen such a symbol. It was only in the 1600s in the city of Prague that star started to become this distinctive symbol for Jews. And now today, it's everywhere. In the Acts of the Apostles, Stephen preaches that, quote, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god Remphan, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon.
The only time you have any mention in the Bible of the children of Israel using a star as a banner or taking up a star as a symbol, it is a false god. It's part of their pagan, satanic worship of Moloch or Remphan. They took up the star of their god, Remphan. God never gave them this and said, use this. It makes more sense that it has to do with Remphan than the god of the Bible, since God never prescribed this.
Well, Remphan being not God would then be a false god.
Well, absolutely. The so-called Star of David is, of course, a satanic symbol because Judaism is a satanic religion. I don't care what symbol Judaism uses to represent itself. That's a satanic symbol.
What is that? I mean,
let's see what else I got before I shut this down. Oh, look. That's the hotel where the...
oh, my God.
Where the Reverend act Finn took place. Or something. All right, well, let's switch gears here.
So, no, hold on. Before we do that, All right, so I have something that I've noticed in some of the group settings that I've been attending is some people choose to do the, I don't know what you call that. The
it's you know, the Catholic,
the father,
the Catholic.
Yeah,
yeah.
But if you really think about it, your arm comes across, goes to the top, goes down, then goes to your shoulders, and then goes back up again, right? What are we making? A star. A pentagram.
Well, it is Catholic.
So when I was doing those big bug eyes.
Yeah.
There's this band called Pentagram. This doom metal band. And yeah. That's kind of what the guy does. He's okay. Got like really big hair. I'll look a picture for you. I know right. You don't know what I'm talking about.
I'm going to play this clip real quick. It's Tucker Carlson.
So that's where the story stood until the other day.
Talking about Kanye.
Nobody believed Kanye West. Then West posted something remarkable on Twitter, which for some reason virtually all of American media ignored, which is odd because media outlets are not usually in the business of ignoring remarkable things, but they did. And what he posted was a picture of a text exchange that he had had with Harley Pasternak. Pasternak was explaining that West had better stop saying, quote, crazy stuff. In other words, he'd better get back on script, or else he would be severely punished. Quote, second option, if you don't shut up, quote, I have you institutionalized again, where they medicate the crap out of you, and you go back to zombie land forever. Play date with the kids just won't be the same. End quote. Just try if you can to imagine a more sinister threat than that. A more chilling threat than that. Do what I say or I will turn your brain to mush. I will destroy your relationship with your own children. I will send you back to, quote, zombie land forever. Effectively, I'll kill you. Now, keep in mind, this is from West's, quote, trainer, not his physician. This is the guy he'd hired to help him do squats. A trainer? Really? Did they talk like that at your gym? Probably not. So what's going on here exactly? Well, according to his bio, Harley Pasternak, who is not denied writing these texts, once worked for the Canadian military, where he participated in experiments that measured the effect of various drugs on the human mind. Is that training relevant to this story? We don't know.
Of course
we do
is.
Know that based on this text exchange, which again, Harley Pasternak has not said is untrue or fake, on the basis of that, law enforcement agencies definitely ought to be looking very closely at Harley Pasternak, who, by the way, apparently has dozens of other celebrity clients, some of whom seem to be out there campaigning. Based on these texts, this looks like a crime. Why is no one investigating it? The fact that no one is investigating it tells you a lot.
All right. Sorry, I cut off your girl Candace. All right, I want to play one more clip. This shit's funny. All right. This dude got wrongly arrested for a stolen debit card or some shit. It's hilarious.
Gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest. Have a look at the headlock here. See that chap over there? Get your hand off my penis! This is the guy who got me on the penis, people.
It's a cuffs.
Why did you do this?
It's a cuffs.
For what reason? What is the charge? Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal? Oh, that's a nice headlock, sir. Oh, yes. I see that you know your judo well. Good one. And you, sir? Are you waiting to receive my limp penis? Get your hands off. Ta-ta and farewell.
Wow.
I think we might have played that before on this show.
I think so.
Sounds familiar. I'm humored by the same things over and over again. I apologize.
Yes. Same here, man.
All right.
But going back to that Jew, Al Goldstein, that had that quote about how, you know, Christianity sucks and everything. So even his own son, when he got to attend Harvard Law School, he did invite his father to his graduation. So what did this father do? He put out AI, like, made images of his son having sex with other men, including with his own mother. That's how this guy took revenge on his son. Wow. This guy would also read to his son, you know, some of the works of John Stuart Mill, who was an English philosopher, political economist, politician, and civil servant. And he was into utilitarianism.
I don't know what that is.
It's one that promotes the greatest happiness and minimizes suffering for the greatest number of people. But he created, he also at the same time, like, there's another lady tied to him called Betty. Well, she goes by Honeysuckle Divine, or her real name is Betty Jane Alsop. And this lady was a full-blown, like, Christian girl. And then someone like him took her under her and made her kind of like the poster child of his magazine. And so he went as far as to say that her act was unbelievably disgusting. So naturally, we made her our symbol. And she was the only female associated with Screw, which is the magazine, over any period of time. And so what this lady would do is, check this out. This is wild. I mean, it's kind of funny.
Wait a minute. What do you mean she was the only female associated with Screw?
Like that they used as like a face.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was going to say, what are we talking about? Some queer magazine here? What?
Yes, there is some of that. Because he wanted to put out like the most vile things out there. That's what I'm saying. Like they had been pushing this agenda. So check this out. So the first thing she would do is stick a mop handle in her pussy and clean the stage floor. Then she pulled the mop handle out of her pussy and made a lot of pussy farts. The audience always got a laugh out of that. I made my pussy sound like a duck. I say I fucked a duck and the duck's still in there. I lit a candle with a match, then extinguished the flame with my pussy. Then I blow out the flame from three candles all at once. After that, I put three candles in my pussy, lit them, stood on my head, I'd count down, and blast off. The candles shot out of my pussy like a rocket. I call that pussy propulsion. After the candles, I smoked a cigarette in my pussy, blew smoke rings in time with Glenn Miller swing music. This is an old-time trick for the smoker's stag parties. I used to be afraid of cancer because of the smoke. Then I poured Jergens lotion into my parch, which I then shoot 20 feet into the air. The guys within shooting range scatter in all directions. I joke that the guys who are close to me are in the combat zone. Then I put talcum powder in my pussy, which I blow out with big white clouds. Then I shoot ping pong balls out. The powder gives me better grip on the ball, so I can shoot them 15 to 20 feet. I prepare each ball carefully. I write Honeysuckle Loves Your Balls on them, and then I wrap them up in a baggie to keep the autograph dry, so whoever catches them can keep them as souvenirs.
So much for people complaining that this show was too religious. Thanks, Julio. Bro, I gotta get a beer. I need a beer.
Recording stopped.
All right, we're back.
Recording in progress.
Another beer run. My apologies. I do got one clip that I should have played and I didn't. So here it is. It's about the Kazarians. Exactly who I was talking about. I got so many clips here, people. I can't keep track of what I got. Check this out.
Yet even before Maimonides came on the scene in the 12th century, another dilemma was being created in Judaism far to the east. This was a dilemma not concerning the doctrines of the Jews, but over who actually was a Jew.
In their articles on Khazars, the Jewish encyclopedias tell us that in the 8th century AD, Jewish missionaries ventured north of Babylon to the land of the Khazars between the Caspian and the Black Seas. Khazaria was a vast grassland on what is now the plains of southern Russia, inhabited by a race of merchants, artisans, and warriors of Hunnish Turkish stock. About 740 AD, the king of the Khazars converted to Judaism and made it the state religion. Incredibly, within a few centuries, the people of Khazaria convinced themselves that they were not Gentiles after all, but the physical descendants of Abraham. Thus, by the 10th century AD, a nation of proselyte Jews thrived in what is now central Russia. During the Middle Ages, the fierce Mongols from the east and Russians from the north drove the Khazars west out of their ancient homeland. Most settled in Eastern Europe, especially Poland, where they established communities of artisans and traders. Judaism thus became divided into two basic groups which remain today: the Ashkenazim, which are the Khazars of the east, and the Sephardic Oriental, which are Jews of Spain, Turkey, and lands bordering on the Mediterranean. Today, the Ashkenazim, or Khazars, are the vast majority, about 80% of those who call themselves Jew.
Yep.
The two most recent premiers of Israel illustrate these two racial types. Shimon Peres is a Sephardic Jew from authentic Jewish stock. Yitzhak Shamir, like Menachem Begin, is Ashkenazim, or Khazar, in origin. In Poland, these ancestors of most modern Jews thrived. In fact, they actually became more zealous Jews than their theological cousins to the west, the Sephardim. The Khazars were fascinated with that mystical aspect of Judaism called Kabbalah. Kabbalah was the Jewish form of ancient Gnosticism, a belief that God is unconscious yet everywhere, revealed in different levels of refinement throughout the universe. Of course, Judaism was always unique among ancient religions in its belief in a single conscious God, a God not only capable of creating the worlds, but of punishing evil and rewarding good. Like Eastern religions, however, the Polish Kabbalists believe that God in his purest form is utterly remote, unknowable, without opinions about right and wrong. Instead, his being filtered down through many gradations or sephirot until it reached Israel. Israel, according to the Kabbalah, was the visible, rational emanation of God in this world. Below Israel was confusion and darkness, represented by demons and the chaotic world of the Gentiles.
What excited the Khazar?
Okay. That concludes our film for class today. Didn't that sound like a school film?
Yeah. But it was good.
I had to play it because I forgot I had it. And I'm like, well, we just got done talking about the Khazarians.
Yeah, it fits right perfectly in line to what we've been talking about.
Yeah. You got anything else?
Yep.
Clip?
So, yeah.
Okay.
Give me a second. So I wanted to show you, you know how I was doing the big bug eyes?
Oh, yeah, it's you wanted tough. To show me that, dude.
Yeah, I did. Because I think he's cool. Like, he started this band, like, in the 70s or something. And... you know, they were hip, but then, you know, they faded out. And now, thanks to, like, social media, like, this one clip has brought them back to life. And I think that is so cool, man. Like, to get, like, another shot at redemption, another shot at, you know, like, being famous. That's cool.
Right.
I think we all need that. So, yeah, so this is the clip I was talking about. Look at this guy.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, I keep seeing him, but I didn't know who the hell he was. There's no sound. Yeah.
What do you mean there's no sound?
I didn't hear anything.
I don't know.
But I get it. I keep seeing that dude.
Yeah. I don't know. I like seeing people come back. And that is definitely something I definitely do enjoy. So I have another couple other funny ones here that I want to share. I do want to share that chromosome one with you. But that might... Actually, let me do it right now. So...
Oh, is that a Downs filter?
I don't think it's a filter.
Yeah, that's the new thing, dude.
Is it?
Yeah. There's a new filter where I guess people really like it because it makes them feel like they have a chance. You know what I mean? I don't know what. If you found one down, homosexual, not Jennifer Slope. Jennifer Slope. Rilf. R. I stay on syndrome, I didn't know this or anything like this. I feel like a big city might be, but something Scarlett Slohansen. Yeah, dude. That's a Downs filter. Yeah, I don't know. That's a new thing, man. I don't get it.
If she's down, I'm down. I've been saying that for a year.
Yeah. You originated it. You should have put a trademark on that. You'd be making money off of that filter.
And then this guy, I don't know where he came from or whatever, but he's interviewing.
Klansman?
Yes, he is dressed as a Klansman.
And you got everything turned up because I can't really, it's not that loud.
Yeah, I do.
All right, my bad.
And he's interviewing a lady in a wheelchair. All right. And listen to what he says to her.
So you are in a wheelchair,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
And you're a woman.
Yeah.
Damn. Talk about a double handicap. Sheesh. So what do? You just kind of ski-boop around town? Is that what you do? You're just kind of like a Roomba that bleeds once a month?
Okay.
You bring a lot to the table, I can tell. Like your own chair. You do, you know. That's... And you have like an aura about you, you know. I bet you light up every room that you go into. Especially when you hit that thing in reverse and your taillights go on. Real big bitch coming through. Watch your toes, fellas. So when you go to the gynecologist, do you go to a regular gynecologist? Do you go to like Jiffy Lube? I did notice that you are a redheaded woman as well. So I do want to ask, you know, does the carpet match the rims that you got on? What's the protocol on that one? Stephanie Hawking, why don't you tell me that? What would you say is the hardest part about being a woman in a wheelchair? Besides having a parallel park, what would be the, I guess, second?
All right, that's enough.
So you are in a wheelchair, huh?
That's enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. But I came across this thing that is kind of close to me. So Costa Rica and Nicaragua kind of like border one another.
Yeah.
And so there's a tribe of Indians called Nicoyas, and they kind of like live between Costa Rica and Nicaragua.
Yeah.
But dude, they've been doing like a study on them, and they say that people that live in these areas live past 100 in good health.
Oh yeah.
So the average lifespan is 85 years versus 77 in the US, and Nicoyan men are 7 times more likely to reach 100 than Japanese men.
Huh.
And so their diet is a cellular regeneration diet, primarily raw fruits, vegetables, beans, and corns. 80% of their calories come from plant foods with high water content and living enzymes. Processed foods don't exist in their diet. So like they eat a lot of like papaya, fresh tropical fruits, leafy greens. They walk, you know, to visit friends and do outdoor activities. They tend gardens and do manual chores. You know what I mean? Like this is everything that we have drifted away from. 100%.
All right. Now, speaking of health and everything, did you hear about Kevin James?
What about him?
You know who he is, right?
The actor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what was that show he was on with the Scientology chick?
I forgot the name, but yeah. I know what you're
talking
about.
All right, so his daughter in real life, she got like super sick, right? And I guess he's really religious. And, you know, in the Bible, fasting strengthens your prayers and stuff. So he, like, you know, he was a pretty big dude, right? And so he started fasting. And he was talking to his daughter one day. And she mentioned something. She's like, oh, that's so nice that you're fasting, trying to help me. He's like, all right, that's it. I gotta keep going. So he went for like 40 days and lost like 60 pounds or some shit. But like when he stopped, a lot of it came back, which is normal. But I mean, when you fast for that long, that will kill any. I don't know. And I kept looking, trying to find out whatever happened to his daughter. I'm sure she's all right. But as far as yourself, that will kill any illness that you got, man. I'm not a doctor.
There's a lot of power to fasting.
Yeah.
It resets the whole body. It you know, like the parasites and the cells that need to be expelled get expelled naturally when you fast.
Right. The cells start to eat anything that's left, which is any kind of sickness or anything. You know what I mean? And I don't know where I was going, but
it doesn't matter. I think the main message is there's a lot of power in the name of fasting and doing it for the right reasons. And
yeah, especially something like that. And it strengthens your prayers. And that's in the Bible.
Yep.
Several times. You
know, in my Bible group, a lot of the guys will, you know, like, we're in a group chat and they'll post, you know, like, hey, I'm on a fast. I'm on a fast for this reason. You know, would anybody like to join me? And we kind of like group together to kind of do it. I don't do a good job of it. I always end up forgetting I'm fasting and I end up fucking eating. But I know that they take it seriously and yeah, that it does make a big difference. Like,
you know, there's a group of monks that used to do nothing but beer fasting. I'm serious. Let me look it up.
What does that mean?
They wouldn't eat anything, but they would just drink beer. Probably not as much as me and you would want to. Let me look. You got anything to talk about here? Let me look this up real quick.
I mean, I'm just laughing at what you're telling me.
Well.
No, but I did want to play that clip that Clem sent. So Clem said she found my TikTok. I want to hear people's opinions on this. I don't know how to feel about it.
She said what?
She said she found my TikTok.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that, right?
Yeah. All right, let me hear what you guys think. I'm going to play it right now.
I forgot.
Now.
Yeah, we need to play that. Good
this
idea.
Trail. This is where I was first fucked by Bigfoot. Right here is where he bit me over first time on this poplar there. Basically, when my pants are around my ankles, it sounded like macaroni noises. But I didn't even listen to the warning thing. It says, welcome to our backyard, but...
Hey, you heard the...
need to avoid this trail.
You heard my Mexican accent impression I did, right?
No, I did not.
What? I sent it to the group chat with Legs and Eggs and you. I go, when my pants were around my ankles. Cause All right.
Let me play that one real quick, too.
What?
You being all racist.
I just did it in person. When my pants were around my ankles.
Yeah, that sounded very white, not even Mexican.
All right. Anyway, in the 17th century, Pauliner monks in Bavaria, Germany decided to brew beer to survive their 40-day Lenten fast, which allowed liquids but not food. This practice was not uncommon as many Germans brewed their own beer, and Trappist monks in Belgium had been making beer since 530 AD. The Pauliner monks created a particularly delicious and nutritious Doppelbach beer, which became a staple for monks during Lent. Okay. German monks don't really count, so I thought this was more interesting than it is. Cool. I thought it was like some Buddhist monks or some shit.
It's great.
Have you ever heard of German monks?
No, I have not.
No, actually it's Belgium. Still, I've never heard of that. I thought it'd be like Buddhist or Hindu or something. Well, anyway, you want to wrap it up?
Maybe.
Or do you got, if you got anything else?
So I don't know. I follow Candace Owens a lot.
Yeah.
So she had an interview with Ian Carroll. You ever heard of that guy?
No,
I'm sure you've seen him.
Yeah, it sounds familiar, but I can't place the name to a face.
So they were talking about Trump and Elon Musk. So what if Elon Musk, like, they brought up something interesting. How can this guy be running all these companies, tweeting all fucking day?
Oh, yeah, I've been saying that, dude.
And he's the number one top player in like video games like Diablo and other complex games. And then check this out. People proved that his gaming accounts were fake.
I believe
it. So he's not the top gamer.
Well, you know, he's backing out of Doge, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's done with that.
So, I mean, how can this guy be working with Doge trying to, like, you know, like, cut down and trim the spending of the government, yet all his projects, all his companies rely on the government spending money, right?
Yeah. And can I add something real quick?
Yeah.
Okay, all these programs that Doge found, they cut the programs, but they didn't cut the funding. All right, so none of the money got saved. It's just there for them to do whatever they want with. So they cut the programs, but they didn't cut the funding. None of that happened. Elon is, I don't know what he is, but I don't.
Yeah.
I'm not impressed. And I've told you that a long time ago.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's the thing. Like, I know, you know, like, we get behind somebody's training, but I'm willing to be wrong. I'm willing to be open to, like, learning the truth about people. And I think that this is something real. Like, if he's lying about a video game, imagine what he's lying about.
Oh, right.
You know? I mean, could he really be just like a psyop for us to just kind of like think that this guy's doing all these amazing things like that are, honestly are kind of like impossible for anybody?
Well, did you hear about this spaceship that's going like into the maybe like 4 minutes into the atmosphere and it's all females?
No.
Jeff Bezos' girlfriend, Kate Perry. But it's automated. Oh, it's all autonomous. So Kate Perry, one of her quotes was, "We're going to put the ass in astronaut." But they don't have to do anything. It's like going for a ride at fucking Cedar Point or some shit.
On a roller coaster, yeah.
Yeah. They're not actually doing anything.
I had not heard of that.
All the women are pretty famous, but I didn't recognize any of them except Kate Perry. I guess one of them is Bezos' girlfriend or wife. I don't know if he's married.
I think it's a dude.
That would not surprise me a bit.
Yeah. We still have to talk about Candace Owens' thing about Emmanuel Macron and Brigitte Macron. Not only is Brigitte Macron a man, she also groomed, you know, Macron from the age of 14. And
wait, somebody said it was his dad.
It is his dad.
That's fucking creepy.
Correct. So it's
we'll give him something to look forward to next week. We'll talk about it next week.
Pedophilia and incest, right? All in one fucking thing. And Manchurian candidate.
If that isn't demonic, I don't know what is,
dude.
Well, check it out next week. We'll talk about it. Remind me, Julio, mark it down. But unless you got anything else, I'm ready to wrap it up.
No, man. I'm ready to wrap it up, too.
All right. So any questions, comments, bitches, gripes, complaints, conspiracysoldiers@yahoo.com. Shoot us an email. Conspiracy Soldiers on Instagram, YouTube. And then you can send us a voicemail or a text, 313-583-7646. You got anything else, Julio?
No, I've been listening to the singer, the song called Murders on My Mind.
Who's that?
His name is C. Murder.
Rap?
So
I'm not interested. I'm too old for that shit.
I know. So check this out. So Wednesday, we were me and Lily. Lily, she's been joining me on my meetings on Wednesday, and so we were listening to her country girly music.
Yeah,
Megan Maroney, and I'm like singing along, feeling a little yay. And then I played like a Christian song, and I started crying. So then I had to like get back in like the right mindset to go to my meeting.
Okay.
So I played Murder on My Mind. And okay. That got me back.
Is that new?
That got me back. No, it's not new.
I didn't think so.
But guess where this guy is at?
What do you mean, where is he at? Prison?
Yeah, he had fucking murder in his mind.
Well.
And then he committed murder.
You know what, man?
I got murder on my mind.
That was all another program.
A psyop.
It was a psyop. It was between the privately owned prisons and the record labels.
Indeed.
But we can talk about that another time.
Hey, no. So I have to talk about this because I have completely forgot about it. All these other episodes. Did you know that Toledo had a role in the Manhattan Project?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Can we talk about it next week?
Yes.
I mean, is it a long, drawn-out thing or is it just... We can talk about that next week too. We already got a few subjects we got to talk about.
Yeah.
All right.
The Manhattan
cool.
Project.
Well, that took place in Manhattan, correct?
No. Well, yeah, kind of.
How was Toledo involved? I'm confused.
All right, so I guess we'll talk about it now.
I mean, they built part of the ship or what?
No. At the corner of Harlow and Post Streets, nestled within residential neighborhood just a few blocks west of Rosary Cathedral, a cluster of brick buildings stands quietly inside a fenced-in industrial area. Today, it's hard to imagine that these unassuming structures once played a crucial role in Toledo's connection to the groundbreaking effort that led to the creation of the nuclear bomb that ended World War II. Between 1943 and July 1944, DuPont and the University of Chicago subcontracted Toledo's Baker brothers to machine roll metal rods into uranium slugs for the Clinton Engineer Works in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and the Hartford Nuclear Reactor Complex in Washington. Most of the 200 employees at Baker Brothers were unaware of the top-secret work happening in the off-limits North Building, as they were focused on supporting the war effort by building machinery for tank turret rings and aircraft propeller hubs. It's estimated between 90 to 300 tons of uranium were processed at Baker Brothers over 13 months. The uranium slugs produced in Toledo ultimately played a role in generating the plutonium used in the bomb dropped on Nagasaki on August 9th, 1945. Yeah.
Well, I hope that plant wasn't on the water because we're drinking it.
It's not, but it's definitely, we drive by it a lot more than we think.
Okay.
And like I told you, like when I go visit my friend that passed away when I was in high school in Lucky, Ohio, we drive past a place that I've always seen that's always been like fenced off.
Yeah.
And it's because the soil is contaminated.
Oh,
for
yeah.
one reason or another. And I always wonder, like, what the fuck, you know? And then you hear the fact that we've been shipping this contaminated soil to, like, other countries. Like, we've been shipping it to Canada. I don't know. It's just all kind of like, man, like, all these things that we don't know. Like, unless you're willing to question things. Like, there was no article telling me that... that broken down factory I kept seeing driving out to Lucky, Ohio was contaminated.
Right.
I had to look it up. So I guess my message is like, you have to look shit up.
Right.
No one's going to tell you the things that you need to know. Like, you have to question things.
Right.
Don't be satisfied with what they tell you. Because
Julio,
it's really wild out there, man.
I'm about to piss my pants. Conspiracy. What? Conspiracy Soldiers is going dark. See you next week, people.
Piss your pants.
Recording stopped.